Well, guys, this morning, turn over to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. That's where we're going to focus in on this morning, Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13. So we're going to take a brief break from the book of Acts and, you know, this being Independence Day. We want to focus on that, our freedom, and talk about why that's important. So Galatians, chapter 5, verse 13 today. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare causes which impel them to separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This, of course, is the unanimous declaration of the 13 colonies of the United States of America, and it was voted upon on July 4th, 1776. This document was drafted by Thomas Jefferson between June 11th and June 28th of 1776. This Declaration of Independence is our nation's most cherished symbol of liberty and Thomas Jefferson's most enduring monument, if you will. Because here in these phrases, Jefferson expresses the convictions and the minds of the hearts of the American people at that time. And so what Jefferson did was he summarized this philosophy, these self-evident truths, if you will, and he set forth a list of grievances against the king in order to justify before the world the breaking of ties between the colonies and its mother country. And so today, as we've talked about, 245 years ago, 56 colonial men signed a document challenging Great Britain's rule over the 13 colonies. And yet, with the signing of this document, each of them effectively signed their own death warrant as they opposed the wealthiest and most powerful nation in the world. And for what? It was for freedom. And so, starting with the Revolutionary War, much of our freedom has been paid with a heavy price, and we have a lot to be thankful for in our country. We have much to appreciate. And I'm afraid far too many times that we don't reflect enough on our freedom and the price that was paid for us to have it. And we've been given so much in our world, and because of it, we should be thankful. We need to take time to be thankful. But you know, the Bible also has much to say about freedom. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. But first, I want to just give you a brief history lesson. Maybe these things you already know, perhaps some of them you don't. We're going to go back and look at just a little bit farther than before that 1776. Because the point I want to make to us this morning, first of all, is that our country was founded upon the principles of God's Word. Our country was founded upon the principles of God's Word. You know, the purpose of the pilgrims coming to America, even before 1776, we understand, back in the 1600s, their reason for coming to America was to establish a political commonwealth governed by biblical standards. The Mayflower Compact stated that they had come for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. That's why they came. The Puritans, realizing the backslidden state of the Church of England, set forth to America for the stated purpose of showing how a nation could prosper its citizens as they lived under the laws of God. And think about that for a minute. The Plymouth Charter that we've heard of. The Plymouth Charter says the colony was established to advance the enlargement of the Christian religion to the glory of God Almighty. The Delaware Charter defines the purpose of their colony to further propagate the Holy Gospel. The Virginia Charter assures the right for people to live in Christian peace and instructs people to propagate the Christian religion to such people who yet live in ignorance of the true knowledge and worship of God. The Rhode Island Compact says, we submit our persons, lives, and estates unto our Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, our country was founded upon the principles of God's Word. And of course, today we celebrate July 4th, 1776, the Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence, which states their belief in Creator God. And before signing that, though, they called the signers to prayer and fasting to the God of the Bible. They didn't go into this lightly. They prayed about it. They fasted before God and felt like this is the course we need to take. And beyond that, think about the role of the Christian church and its pastors that have played in America's early days. You know, it was a preacher named Francis Bellamy that wrote our Pledge of Allegiance. John Leland, another preacher, wrote the introduction of the First Amendment to the Constitution. And prior to the war between the states, 90% of all American college presidents were preachers of the gospel. 90%. Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Brown, Dartmouth, William and Mary, and Columbia were all founded by Christian preachers and had church affiliation with the expressed intent to educate the youth for Christ. How far we've come since that point. And so the influence of God upon this founding of this great nation of ours is so evident that no one who is a student of history could accurately deny that we are not a country that is founded upon the principles of God's Word. But that being said, what's the purpose? Why did God allow these things? Why did God do this? Why do we have that beginning? And so I want to answer that question this morning, is what is the purpose of our freedom? And to see that, we're going to read Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Look at that verse there. What does Paul say here to the church at Galatia? He says there in verse 13, "For you are called to be free, brothers, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love." That is the purpose of our freedom. Let's read it again. "For you are called to be free, brothers, only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love." We are called to serve one another. We are called to not use our freedom as a way for our own self-interest, but yet for the sake of other people. Kind of sounds like a lot what Jesus was about. He didn't come for his own sake to be served, but he came to serve humanity by going to the cross. And so that has to be our same attitude as well. And so Christian freedom cannot be defined as permission to do anything we want. There are a lot of people that believe that today. And they're not just Christians, but people in general. And there are a lot of people in America that feel like, well, I have freedom to do whatever I want to do. These are my liberties. These are my rights. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to live my life. And that's a pretty selfish view of the freedom that we have today. But yet we're seeing that more and more, and it frustrates me. We're so entitled. This is my rights, my freedom. Yeah, you do have rights and you do have freedom, but it's not for your sake alone. It's for the sake of other people. And so Christian freedom cannot be defined as permission to do whatever we want in life. Rather, it is the opportunity to do what Christ wants to do through us without fear that our performance will be counted against us. That means we have an awful big obligation to follow, because we do live in a country where we are free. We read stories every day of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are martyred for their faith because they don't live in the freedom that you and I have today. We can't even fathom what they go through. You know, we are persecuted, yes, but what we go through is just a sliver of what they go through in life. We're literally getting together with other Christians today could cost them their life. We're blessed to live in America. And so it's an opportunity for us to do what Jesus wants us to do without fear that what we're doing is going to be counted against us. We're free from all these things, but in a Christian sense, we're also free in Christ. We're free from the endless ceremonial laws. We're free from all these things externally and all the laws and things like that, sin and fear. But we're not free in the sense of totally governing ourselves or being totally autonomous without Christ. We're to be under the restraint of the Holy Spirit and the constraint of a higher law, the law of love. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples? I said it a million times. You know what Jesus said to his disciples when he was in the upper room? Remember that last supper he spent with his, you know, he was hanging with his guys right before he was going to be arrested and go to the cross and die. He wanted to say, guys, I'm going to leave you with something. I'm going to give you a brand new commandment today. What's that, Jesus? My commandment is this, that you love one another in the same way that I have loved you. That way all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. That is what we've been saved to do. That is the higher law, the law of love. And freedom must be used to glorify Christ and to serve others, not just to fulfill our personal desires. Basically, if you want to be really honest about what it means to be a follower of Christ, we're putting our lives into his control and we're saying, I no longer have any more rights. All my rights have been granted and given over to Jesus. That's what it means to be a follower of Christ. If we want to be really honest about what it means I've given up my life and I've put it in control of Jesus. Now he's my boss. He's the big boss in my life. And I will do what he tells me to do, just like Jesus said. What did he say often? I only go where the Father tells me to go. I only say what the Father tells me to say. I only do what the Father tells me to do because I am about him, not me. And so we're to go and do likewise. So freedom must be used to glorify Christ and to serve others, not just to fulfill our personal desires. You know, Scripture also points to the topic of freedom in 1 Peter 2:16. It tells us, Peter says, to live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. And so, as American Christians, we are free both spiritually and politically to love others and to serve God. Isn't that kind of what our slogan is here, loving God and loving people? Isn't that what Jesus said the two greatest commandments were? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors yourself. That's why we're blessed to live in America, because we can do those things. We don't necessarily have to worry about being persecuted, being arrested, being murdered for our faith. We're free both spiritually and politically to love others and serve God. I think that's one reason for our freedom. As we look back at our nation's history and we see all these great men of the faith, our founding fathers, these preachers who wrote significant things that we still go by today, it all points back to God saying, my hand is upon these people because I want to do something great through this nation. Namely, preach the gospel. And that brings me to my next point. What's the purpose of our freedom? To share the gospel. To share the gospel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission. You know what it says. That we're to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded, and know this, that I will be with you every step of the way. There are a lot of people today who feel like that faith should be a private matter. But our faith is not private. It shouldn't be private. It shouldn't be kept to self. We are called to share our faith with others that they might come to experience grace and joy found in Jesus. We've not been called to be quiet. We've been called to speak up and to speak out concerning what the Word of God says, concerning what the gospel is. We're called to share our faith that others might know. And could it be that God led our founding fathers to fight for our freedom, that his people, for his people, so that we could proclaim his name to the nations? This is ultimately our purpose, to go and make disciples. And you know what's fascinating, guys? We live in a day and time We have all this technology to where we can reach the world. In fact, God is bringing the world to us in many ways through our colleges and universities and other, I mean, we look at the Vashenko family. God brought them to us, the world to us. And now the influence that they have to the outside America is great because they've become followers of Christ. And the same is true. We've been called to preach the gospel to all the world, and we live in freedom to be able to do that. And so could it be that God led our founding fathers to fight for our freedom, that his people would proclaim his name to the nations? To go and make disciples of all nations by intentionally living out the Great Commission. We have to be intentional about that. We all know what the Great Commission says, and we all know that we need to be sharing the gospel. But many times we don't take the time to be intentional about it. We don't purposely put ourselves in situations so that we can tell people about the gospel. Many times we're not strategic in our thinking. One of the things that I really appreciated hearing about when Leslie and I were at the Southern Baptist Convention, J.D. Greer, who was our SBC president, his term is over now, we have a new one, but he was talking about his church in, is it North Carolina, South Carolina, some one of those states over there, but he was talking about in his church that they are continuously reproducing themselves and starting other churches in different places. And one of the things that they challenge college students to do who aren't married, who don't have roots already, is to go and move to these places where they're planting churches. He said, you got to go get a job somewhere, right? You got your college degree, now it's time to go get a job, it's time to make some money. You got to make money, you got to work somewhere. Why not go where we have strategically planted a church? Why not go be a part of that church for 2 years? He said, if the Mormons can do it, Southern Baptists can do it, right? Why not be strategic? And so they have become intentional about reaching people with the gospel. And I thought, man, what a great idea. And many times we don't think like that. I'm just like, God changed my mind, so I think more like that. Because I need to be forward thinking like that. And we need to be strategic. And we need to not squander the freedom that God has given us to do these things. So let's be intentional. Let's live out the Great Commission as God leads us. Every one of us is called to be on mission for the Lord. Every one of us, no matter how old or young you are in Christ, no matter how old or young you are in age, we've all been called to proclaim the gospel. We all have to be obedient and intentional. And yes, it is about living out our life, but it goes beyond just living it. At some point, we have to proclaim it. And that kind of makes us nervous, and that doesn't really make us feel uncomfortable. It doesn't make us feel comfortable. But last time I checked, what did Jesus say in the Great Commission? I'm going to be with you to the very end of the age. He's talking about the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit indwells us as Christians. What does that mean? We have power. We're not weaklings. We have power. And we go in the power of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he gives us the power to share and to serve and to love and to speak and to proclaim and all the things that he's called us to do. He gives us the power. He doesn't say, okay, go do it. You're on your own. No, he said, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I haven't called you to go alone. I'm going with you. And that should just make us well up with power. Man, I could do it. I could do it because the Holy Spirit lives inside of me. Yeah, I may be weak physically, but you know what? I can do this because God has empowered me. So I'm going to be intentional. What's the purpose of our freedom? To serve one another and share the gospel. As we look back at our nation's history, we see the hand of God working every step of the way. Guys, this is something that we all know, and I'm preaching to the choir, but here it is. We are blessed to live in America. We are blessed to live in America. And the blessing that is ours to live in America, we cannot squander the opportunities that God has given us. I hope that I'm not sounding like a politician today. I'm just sharing what the Bible says. I love America. I love everything about Independence Day. We're going to be shooting off fireworks at our house later on. We got some big ones we're going to shoot off this year. I'm excited about it. I love everything about it. And it's all great and good. The songs we sang today, man, that is powerful. Andrew's wearing his tie over here.
And socks.
And socks, okay. Oh, it's Captain America socks, okay. Very good. I love it. And that's all great. And we ought to celebrate. It is a day of celebration. We ought to be thankful. But there's a purpose for our celebrations. There's a purpose for being thankful. And that's the Lord's work. To serve each other and to share the gospel. We hold these truths to be self-evident. That all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So we as a country have much to be thankful for. Freedom is one of man's greatest pursuits. Why is it that so many people want to come to America? Because it's a great country, and they have freedom here. We have attained this freedom upon the backs of courageous men and women who through years have paid a hefty price, or even the ultimate price, their lives. I think about those who fought in the Revolutionary War, were fighting for a freedom that yet they had never tasted before, but yet they died for the sake of us today. Think about that. Think about that. They themselves never got to receive the benefits of freedom, but because they died, we are free today. So yeah, we have a lot to be thankful for. But beyond that, freedom in Christ is one of man's greatest needs. And we have attained it upon Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us. So let's not forget today we have true freedoms. Freedom as a country and freedom from sin. And let's remember that and celebrate that. Father, we thank you today for this day. A day that is significant to us. And Lord, we're thankful. We're excited. We're excited to spend time with family and friends today. And we were excited to go to the parade yesterday. We're excited to sing patriotic hymns and songs, anthems, Lord, that is just reminds us of how blessed we are to live in America. And I pray that we would be just as excited to use our freedom for the what it was intended for, to serve you and to serve others. Father, let us not lose sight of that as we live out the rest of our days on this earth. Father, until you come home to take us home with you, Father, we will promise to love you and to love others. So, Father, use us today. And be glorified in our lives. And we ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. And we pray together. Amen.